Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. In this show, we look at a bunch of film noirs that reference particular cities. I hope you enjoy the show. I can't resist watching a good film noir, and there's a whole bunch that take place in particular American cities, and the city is included in the title. Kansas City Confidential from 1952 is a well-known example of this, but funnily enough, none of the film was shot in Kansas City. Neville Brand, Lee Van Cleef, and Jack Elam play three crooks who hold up an armoured car. John Payne is wrongly accused of the robbery, and when he's released, he sets out to discover the truth. This is a no-nonsense thriller, and Quentin Tarantino has admitted that Reservoir Dogs was inspired by it. Lee Van Cleef was in his first big role after he'd been in a couple of westerns, one of which was High Noon. Preston Foster is the mastermind behind the robbery, and it was directed by one of my favourites, Phil Carlson.
Porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar. Porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar. La cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta marihuana que fumar.
Chicago Syndicate, made in 1955, has Dennis O'Keefe as an ex-military accountant who is recruited to infiltrate the mob in Chicago. Paul Stewart is excellent as the mob boss. Allison Hayes, who went on to become the 50-foot woman, is out to avenge her murdered father, and Abby Lane and Xavier Cugat, a real-life couple, star as the club singer and band leader. In contrast to Kansas City Confidential, this has great Chicago location photography, and watch out for a surprise halfway through.
One, two, at a time, one at a time. You better be in love with one at a time. Take my advice, you're gonna find you're better off in loving one at a time.
Hiya, what's up?
Men from 20 to 83, don't go in for variety. When you start loving two or more, trouble comes knocking at the door. One at a time, one at a time, you better be in love with one at a time. Tell all the gals that you decline to be in love with more than one at a time. Old King Solomon thought he could have a lot more than one man should. But when he felt the end was near, this is what he shouted for all to hear. One at a time, one at a time, you better be in love with one at a time. Take my advice, you're gonna find you're better off in love in one at a time. Love with one at a time.
Tell all the gal that you decline
to be in love with more than one at a time.
One at a time, one at a time.
You better be in love with one at a time.
Tell all the girls that you decline.
You better be in love with one at a time.
The director, Frank F. Sears, went on to make another of our city noirs, Inside Detroit, a few years later, starring Kevin O'Keefe, again, and Pat O'Brien, playing a mobster about to be released from prison. This was a surprise to me, as I'd seen Pat O'Brien playing priests, cops, and general do-gooders, but never a mobster. He's set on taking control of the unions at the docks on his release, and his son and daughter think he's been framed. It's an interesting premise, and we see how the family slowly wises up to him. There are some genuine nasty moments which took me by surprise, but it peters out quickly at the end and I was left wanting more. This film uses a lot of stock music, which is credited to a whole bunch of well-known film music composers, Miklos Rosser, George Duning, Leith Stevens and Mishka Bakalynikov. The Las Vegas Story from 1952 stars Jane Russell, Victor Mature, Vincent Price and Hoagie Carmichael. Interestingly, this is probably the first movie to bring Las Vegas to the attention of small-town America. It had yet to be reinvented by Frank Sinatra's Arrival the following year. Jane Russell and Vincent Price play a couple arriving in Vegas, where Russell's ex, Victor Mature, is now a police lieutenant. Vincent Price shines whenever he's on screen. He's an addicted gambler who doesn't pay much attention to his wife. And Robert Wilk makes an appearance too.
This is a story about a monkey and a king, King Rebop and his dream. Down in the jungle, he dreams about a flower, dreams about a bird. Not that bird. Ah, that's a prettier bird. He dreams about a monkey. He dreams this monkey can play the drums. Seems the king is broke. He needs dough. And there's a missionary. Well, a monkey heard swing down in Wooloo-Ling. He got bit by the beat of it. I hopped up on a hippo's back with a grin. He went into his dance, singing tsukity-yakity back. A king-a-reep-bop said, "You stop, you ain't exactly on the backbeat. I look at my feet," and then he shuffled up a rhythm. Got the monkey going with him. In a minute, they were balling the jack in the sand. So the monkey made a coconut tom-tom, found an old drum that belonged to the voodoos. By the middle of the week, every native was speaking about the monkey and his medicine band. He beat licks with his sticks to a record by Bix, till his rhythm was the talk of all the Congo. He had a gadoo play the kazoo, and the jug man rounded out the combo. One day a missionary with a Bible and canary came riding on a donkey through the jungle. King Rebop shouted, "Hey, stop, pop, I know a way that we can make a bundle." So he told the missionary with a Bible and canary about the monkey and the way he played drums. But he added he'd had a little bit of bad luck, and he'd like to sell the monkey to Frank Buck. "Okay," said the man with the Bible in a hand, "if a deal is according to Hoyle, I'll see what you got and I'll pay you a lot if you promise not to pour me in oil, 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 oil." So he went with the king down the Wooloo-Ling to see if the big hit and make a buck on it. But the monk the king kept a raving about didn't know from nothing at all. It was just another monkey. King Rebop then woke up, found out he'd been dreaming, and upset cause the little missionary with the Bible and canary said, "King, it must have been somebody you had." So long, boy.
It was originally called The Miami Story, but it was retitled. Fred Sears crops up again as the director of the real The Miami Story, made a couple of years later. Barry Sullivan plays a former gangster who's recruited by the police and town councillors of Miami to clean up the city. There were strong ties between Cuba and Miami at the time, and these are highlighted. Luther Adler plays the mob boss this time around, with John Baer as his trigger man, and Beverly Garland and Adele Juergens play two sisters. New York Confidential, 1955, sports a great cast. Broderick Crawford, Richard Conte, Anne Bancroft, J. Carroll Nash and Mike Mazurki. And doesn't disappoint. Crawford is a top syndicate crime boss in New York who takes a shine to a new boy from Chicago, hitman Conte. The troublesome daughter takes a shine to him as well, but he ain't playing ball. All three leads must have enjoyed making this, as the celluloid sizzles under director Russell Rouse. I'm surprised how neglected and unknown this film remains.
Thank you.
Phil Carlson directed another one of our city noirs in 1956, The Phoenix City Story. Phoenix City is in Alabama and was rife with loan sharking, crooked gambling and prostitution, luring soldiers from the nearby army base. A lawyer and his son resolved to clean it up. This is based on the true story of Albert Patterson, who was shot whilst campaigning for the office of district attorney. The acting, script, camera work and directing is top-notch, but this film pulls no punches and is not for the faint-hearted. Down south, let's look in on New Orleans Uncensored, made in 1955 and directed by William Castle. An ex-sailor arrives from California to buy an old boat on the waterfront. He gets work in the docks and becomes aware of the crime taking place there. We have great location filming in this, and although it's very low budget, it's good entertainment. Arthur Franz, who, I hear you ask, stars. He'd made a name for himself in The Sniper a few years earlier, a great film also, about a killer in San Francisco. This movie has a great feel of New Orleans about it that I can recommend. ¶¶ William Castle directed another of our city noirs with Hollywood Story, starring Richard Conte as a film producer who unwisely decides to make a film about the unsolved murder of a silent film director. Jim Backus, Richard Egan, and the girl from the Black Lagoon, Julie Adams, also star. It's full of great LA locations and is one of William Castle's better films. Anyone with an interest in the history of filmmaking should watch this. It really does conjure up that old magic. The old studio that Conte buys is actually Charlie Chaplin's old studio. Portland Exposé is one of the later city noirs, made in 1957. A tavern owner gets involved in labour unions and the local crime syndicate dealing in slot machines. Frank Gorshin plays a menacing local heavy who has a soft spot for young girls, including the daughter of the tavern owner, played by Ed Binns. Who, you might ask? He was one of the jurors in The 12 Angry Men, an excellent film made in the same year. It's gritty, got good location photography, and moves along pretty well for a low-budget thriller. Frank Skinner provided the score.
We'll be right back.
Finally, I'd like to tell you about Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, a wonderful film, but unlike all of those I've talked about. It's a feel-good movie about a young scoutmaster who gets sent to Washington to act as a stooge there, but he doesn't know it. This part was written for James Stewart, and he does a wonderful job with it. It's a Frank Capra classic and was made in 1939, when the world of Hollywood was more optimistic than it became in the 50s after the war, when the other films I've talked about were made. Jean Arthur co-stars as the hard-nosed secretary who's been around and knows all about the machinations of the political games being played in the capital. Thomas Mitchell is, as always, excellent, and Claude Rains provides the darkness. It runs over 2 hours, but you'll wonder where the time's gone.
He'll close up shop and break up camp,
and we'll all feel gay when Johnny comes marching home. When Johnny comes marching home. When Johnny comes marching home. When Johnny comes marching home.
And there you have it. All these films are well worth watching, and I hope you take some time to find them and enjoy them as much as I did. I'll leave you with some more of that excellent duo, Jimmy Smith and Wes Montgomery. Until next time. We'll be right back.